This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Okay, here we go for a second day in a row. The host of the show is not ready to go because he doesn't have his headphones, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Ethan is saving the day. He's plugging in my lifeline right now. Truth be told, it is a little difficult to do a show without headphones. How are you, Sue?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. Although I went swimming today and I have water in my left ear that I can't get out.
Yeah, do you have a trick for that? Because Becky had that happen the other day.
What did she do?
Well, she was trying the Q-tip thing, and then, you know, every once in a while when that happens to me, I sort of just like lean over with my head and you sort of jump up and down.
Yes, I've tried that.
That's, but you've got to be used to that happening because
yes,
you swim on a regular basis,
it's a lot and I can't get it out.
All right. Well, we'll see if it pops somehow. You want me to help?
I don't know how.
I can get the shop vac out or something like that.
Interwebs told me to take a blow dryer a little bit away and try that. It did nothing.
What about the, what's the trick like when, this is gross, but you know when the wax buildup happens, sometimes you put the hydrogen peroxide in there. Does that help?
I don't know. I may get to that.
All right. So the big beautiful bill has cleared the Senate and is on its way back to the House. So that's one thing that happened today. Now, this was a tie vote, right?
The Senate being evenly divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative. The bill as amended is passed.
Fred, who did not vote for it, it was Rand Paul.
Right, Tom Tillis.
Tom Tillis, North Carolina, who is not running for re-election.
Right, and then Susan Collins.
Susan Collins. Now, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was someone who was kind of on the... on the dividing line, if you will. She ended up voting for it.
Right.
Here's Lindsey Graham explaining this, and this may explain a little bit about Josh Hawley here in Missouri as well.
The problem was around the cost cutting, the cost savings, Medicaid, how it affected our state. We came up with a fix to basically increase the rural hospital count, doubled it, and that will help all of our states. So, you know, just methodically working through how this bill affects Alaska.
The president's been very busy today. He's been talking about alligator Alcatraz. We didn't get to that yesterday. That's actually rather interesting and comical. But, Fred, if it's not my imagination, he's had several different media opportunities today, like from even beginning this morning, right?
I can't keep up in pulling a sound. Yeah, he's had like four or five different ones.
He's very happy, though, to pass the Senate. Look, I didn't think they'd get it through the Senate this quickly. Now it goes to the House, but there are red flags in the House, and we're going to spend some time on this with Scott Moorfield, who writes for Town Hall, in just a few minutes, but here's the president.
Well, I just heard that about the Senate, and the bill just passed, and it tells you there's something for everyone. I mean, it's a great bill. There is something for everyone, and I think it's going to go very nicely in the House. Actually, I think it will be easier in the House than it was in the Senate.
Well, we'll see about that. Chip Roy doesn't think so, and some of the other Freedom Caucus members, but I want to talk about something else here as we start. And Sue introduced us to someone by the name of Hank Lena a few months back, and Hank came to one of our fish fries, and he has this amazing American story. Would you like to, in synopsis form, explain for those listeners who might not be familiar with Hank and what he does with his coffee business and why he became someone who we were very inspired by on this particular show, Sue?
Well, yes, he comes from New Zealand. He met his wife, Melanie, who's also great, but she's an American.
Right.
At an airport, and they flew on a flight together and by the end knew that there was something there. So they eventually got married and moved to New Zealand. And he was essentially a rancher. Well, you know he was specific about what he did with the bulls.
Right.
And they have...
Yes, it's already. It's more than a little PG-13.
Yes, but the point is the shutdowns for COVID were so bad
outrageous,
over there.
Outrageous, right.
Outrageous that they finally ended up moving back here. And Hank, last year, went through all the hoops to become a U.S. citizen. And he could not be... more proud. I mean, it makes you teary to even talk about it. And this is the year anniversary.
So he sent this video to us today. And have you seen this? Did he send it to you? This is awesome.
Hello, fellow Americans. I've been waiting to say that. So 249 years ago, a group of men put their signatures to a document to make this country independent. And on the 31st of January this year, as many of you know, I put my John Hancock to a document to accept that I become an American citizen. Oh man, one of the greatest honors I've ever had in my life. It's a great feeling. In fact, we're going to celebrate it because this Friday is my very first Independence Day as an American citizen. So Melanie and I would love to buy you all a coffee this Friday. Come on down and have one on us. And let's celebrate this great nation built on great values and great people. God bless America. Thanks everyone.
So I love that for a variety of reasons. And we may even had, I had an idea, maybe we have him on the show tomorrow. But I want to talk about the country and I want to talk about this week and I want to talk about Independence Day because I, as many of you do, I love this country and I appreciate the freedoms. Even someone like me who does appreciate the freedoms, maybe I even underappreciate the freedoms because I told this story about an Uber driver that I had several weeks ago. And I love talking to the foreign Uber drivers because they are more pro-American than a lot of Americans and they have this appreciation. This guy was from Ghana and we were talking about the country and the opportunities that the country affords you. And, you know, he put something in perspective that day where he said, you know, we don't even have the ability or the confidence to know when you turn a water faucet on that water will come out of it.
Jeez.
Right. And you have, I've been to Honduras before and I've seen how they live down there. And you now have this guy who's a communist essentially running for the mayor of New York City. But you have, and I have some great audio from this this woman named Xi Van Fleet, who is a survivor of Mao's China that I likely won't get to in this segment. But she was on Laura's show last night and I want to highlight some of the things that she said because she really focuses on freedom and the opportunity that we have in this country that nobody else on the planet has. And there's a guy by the name of Andy Kessler who wrote about this a couple of days ago in the Wall Street Journal. And you might remember, Sue and Fred, and those of you listening, that when we were really trying to decide who was going to be the next president, one of the things that horrified me perhaps more than anything else is that Kamala Harris would be in charge of the sesquicentennial celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Because, look, we remember the bicentennial 50 years ago, and this is going to be an amazing party that President Trump is going to guide us through and shepherd us through. And Andy Kessler's piece mentioned that he signed an executive order right after his inauguration declaring a grand celebration for our 250th anniversary. But beyond parades and fireworks and funnel cakes, defining the American identity sometimes gets lost in the woods. And as Andy put it, it's more than football or Beyonce or Marvel movies or Caitlin Clark, let alone B-2 bombers and bunker busters. And for him, he said, it starts with freedom. And for me, it starts with freedom. One of the reasons I love Missouri is because we have more freedom in Missouri than other people have. You know, I'll give you an example. Like in Pennsylvania, they have state-operated liquor stores. So you can't have liquor in the grocery stores and in other stores because they monitor it so much. It's a state control. It's communism is what it is.
Wow.
It's outrageous. So you have even different states within our union that don't have the freedom. When I lived in Wisconsin, I called it the People's Republic of Wisconsin because you couldn't, now some of this may have changed, but you couldn't buy beer. I think I was in North Carolina a couple years ago. You couldn't buy a beer until a certain time, like at 11 a.m. or noon. forget it, right? I want the freedom. If people have freedom, you should have freedom to do whatever you want, whether it's alcohol or something else. So this country is a nation of entrepreneurs. It's a nation of builders. There's a certain ruggedness and resilience with, as Andy Kessler called it, an extra large dollop of dignity, caring, and giving. And he said Martin Luther King said that he thought the American dream required a tough mind and a tender heart. And he said, I like that. So there's all kinds of things that are going to go on here in the next year that I think are important. There's a group called the American Association for State and Local History that has outlined their anniversary plans. They want to use the 250th to help American society progress toward justice through an inclusive approach to history. That sounds like the diversity, equity, and inclusion gobbledygook of the Biden administration, because we should focus on what this country is, what made it great, and I hope that we're not going to get around back to this DEI stuff. But I will say this, it concerns me greatly that this guy won, and it was official today, that he had enough votes to move on, and he's the winner, Maldani, of the New York City primary, because this guy, and when I play, I don't have time to do this right now, when I play Xi, who was on Laura Ingraham's show last night, I was driving home, and I heard what she had to say. She really paints a picture of freedom, and you don't have the juxtaposition unless you've been to some of these other countries, unless you've experienced it. And I think, you know, at this point, I'm preaching to the choir with most people listening this afternoon, because they do love the country. Our audience loves the country. But this is something, and I'm not going to be here on Thursday or Friday, this is something that should be celebrated and highlighted. And I hope so dearly that when people, you know, put brats on the grill, when they, you know, eat their hot dogs on Friday or whenever you're going to celebrate this weekend, or when you see fireworks, that you truly think about the freedom that we have in this country that many of us, including, let's face it, a lot of the young people take for granted. Andy Kessler's piece, he basically, you know, said at the end of it, look, these are things to be proud of, and young people, young folks could ask elders for advice that's not seen on TikTok. America isn't about all baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. It's the freedom to grow, the freedom to believe, the freedom to live. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let Live. I wasn't playing Hank's video, which was a video originally, the audio, because of his business, but he did throw out that offer for the coffee business, and it's kind of amazing. And every time, you know, we give some shout-outs on the show, he has listeners who respond. But he is down in Washington, Missouri.
Missouri.
So go see Hank. I think we're going to try to book him tomorrow because I just love the American story. And again, I've said this before. I said it when I came back from Spain. I felt like some of the Europeans that I visited with over there a couple of years ago when I took the listeners had a deeper appreciation for, you know, the freedoms that we have and what we have provided other people than a lot of the younger people in particular. Certainly the people who voted in the mayoral election a week ago in New York City, that's for sure. Okay, back to the big, beautiful bill. We have a lot to cover this afternoon. You know, Sue, one of the things that broke yesterday is this Kohlberger plea deal out in Idaho, and Paul Morrow is going to update us on that. You know, it was interesting. Phil Holloway said, well, you know, that has to be something that the victims' families were on board with. We're finding that that's not necessarily the case. So Paul's going to highlight that. We have this topic that I got into late in the show yesterday about ibogaine, which is this psychedelic drug, and Texas is invested into this because it could really have amazing reactions and results for people who are you know, either alcoholics or opioid abusers or post-traumatic stress and trauma victims. So we have Brian Hubbard, who is the chief executive officer for the Americans for Ibogaine. And Rick Perry, the former energy secretary and Texas governor, was talking about it on Fox yesterday. But on the big, beautiful bill, not everyone's happy that it passed in the form that it did. Chip Roy, and I like Chip Roy from Texas quite a bit. I don't always support his positions. He's concerned about the changes that they made in the Senate now that they've kicked it back on a tie vote. J.D. Vance had to break the tie earlier today.
This is the Senate wanting to try to save some for their home states, like Senator Murkowski for Alaska, trying to get giveaways to perpetuate the Medicaid money laundering scam in Alaska. It may not be today. It may not be this week. But we're going to deliver on the tax cuts, spending cuts, and the border funding necessary to save this country.
So he calls it a money laundering scheme. Josh Hawley would probably disagree with that, but Hawley was a yes vote today. Chip Roy says this about the changes as well.
This is deals that was cut with Republicans in order to try to get this bill through the Senate. And it is going to undermine the good things we did in the House to deliver on the president's agenda.
All right.
The president wants the tax cuts. He wanted the Green New Scam terminated. We need it all. And I think we're going to have some more work to do after this week to get this done.
Yeah, so my understanding is some things that were taken out of the Green New Scam by the House were inserted back in by more moderate members of the Senate. It's very hard to keep track of all this. I made that very clear yesterday. Scott Moorfield is with us. He's a writer and opinion columnist for Town Hall. How are you this afternoon, Scott? Hope you're well.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
How do you try to get a handle on all of this? Because, you know, the last 48 hours has been a votorama in the Senate. There's been a lot of changes. There's been some backdoor dealings. I highlighted this at the beginning of the show, Lindsey Graham, and I think you heard the reference there from Chip Roy to Lisa Murkowski, who got some things because she was concerned about rural hospitals in Alaska. It's interesting because the language is important here. And what might be a cut in Washington speak is just a reduction in spending or attention to the people who truly need the help. But I'll be honest with you, Scott, with all the changes that were made, and maybe even Chip Roy doesn't know everything about the changes, it's very difficult to get a handle and to say, yeah, you know what, this is a good bill. Now, I support the bill overall because we have to extend the Trump tax cuts. But your thoughts overall as this moves back to the House right now?
Yeah, I'm pragmatic about it, and I feel like I'm frustrated for the same reason everybody else is, but I also feel like this needs to pass because if it doesn't, two words, border security, right? Like, that's the number one thing on the Trump agenda, and if they're not able to fund it and the rest of the Trump agenda, including the tax cuts, then it was all for naught. So the real question is, why are we— and this is something Thomas Massey consistently asks, and Rand Paul, why do we have to have a giant bill? it gives everybody cover for voting for things that they ordinarily would never vote for. Or they would get voted out of office. And I think that's one of the reasons why they do it. But why can't we just have different votes for different things and have everybody on the record for what they support or they don't? But they have this giant bill and we have to pass it and we're stuck. Like, we have no choice. Like, and that's where the pragmatism comes in, because you've got to. Yeah, you just got to.
Well, because, look, part of that is because they're doing it with the reconciliation process, which does not require the 60-vote threshold. Here's Stephen Miller sort of explaining some of this.
I've spent my entire life in the conservative movement. Since I was a kid in high school, working, dreaming of the day where we could have a piece of legislation like what exists right now, Sean, what President Trump has brought to the precipice of passage. Each and every one of the individual titles in this bill would be considered one of the great achievements in the history of the conservative movement. The title, for example, Building the Missile Defense Shield for the United States of America, Sean, so we can be safe, our children can be safe from foreign adversaries in this growing era of intercontinental ballistic missiles as nations race for supremacy. The section on this bill enshrining border and homeland security, this is the most far-reaching border security proposal, homeland security proposal in my lifetime. Sean, not just my lifetime, going back to Eisenhower, going back to since we've had conversations about the border, Sean. I take this seriously.
So he was on with Hannity last night. And Scott, to his point, look, I appreciate it. I like Stephen Miller. I think he's really good at explaining some of these things. But it sort of circles back to your point. There are absolutely components of this bill that you and I and many of the people listening right now would support wholeheartedly, including an extension of the tax cuts. But then there's that Washington math. And then there's the, and I'm not saying compromise is a dirty word. I think compromise is important. But because it's so overstuffed, and I always kind of, you know, revert back to Senator John Kennedy and what he said last week. There's a guy who is on the right side of all these issues, but he admitted, I think it was a week ago today, that there were things that were in that bill that he did not like. I've had listeners tell me, and I don't even know if there's a way of vetting this right now, that some of the stuff that's, you know, this nonsense for gender surgeries, et cetera, has been put back into the bill. The problem is, Scott, I think you might agree, there's no way you can cross-reference that right now and do a search and say, hey, what's in this bill? What's not in this bill? We have to trust these guys in Washington. They're not the kind of people we should trust for the most part. We know that there's been deal making and behind the scenes stuff. It goes back to the House. Chip Roy's throwing the red flag. I mean, can they get it to the president's desk? One thing it does speak to, and I think you would admit, and especially as someone like me, who is not always a supporter of President Trump, you got to give the guy credit because nobody thought he could do a lot of these things. I didn't even think yesterday he could get it through the Senate, and they kicked it back to the House.
Yeah, and they've got a whole other set of hurdles. I mean, I remember really hoping that maybe the Senate would make it better. maybe we can get some concessions here. Maybe it'll come down to Rand Paul and he can make it better. But you know, at the end of the day, is it more good than bad? And I think it probably is more good than bad because you know, they'll say, well, if we don't do it now. Then, and this is something Elon Musk LOL'd about, but if we don't do it now, then we're going to have to do it needing 60 votes, which if you could imagine how hard that would be. My solution to that, of course, is eliminate the filibuster while we have the chance because they're going to do it anyway. And we're already under a de facto filibuster-less world anyway with these omnibus bills. What would be better, having no filibuster and having everybody vote openly for individual bills?
Well, that gets tricky.
It's the lesser of two evils.
I understand the suggestion, but then, you know, when you flip it around, it wouldn't take much to flip it around. The Democrats, they have way too much power. But one of the other things here is how the math is, you know, inserted and how it's explained. So when the CBO says that this is a fiscal blowout because it increases the deficit by $3.3 trillion over 10 years, that's only true if you assume that Congress was going to tolerate the $4.5 trillion tax increase. And that would be the result. And this is the main reason that I've supported this bill, because if the 2017 tax reform expires at the end of this year, all the individual tax provisions are scheduled to do that, then everyone's taxes go up. They like to play the class warfare game, and this is a tax cut for billionaires. No, this would be a tax increase for everyone in this country. And I don't think the Democrats even wanted that, which is why I guess maybe they have some cover because of the other things in here that they didn't like. And not one Democrat, not even John Fetterman, supported this in the Senate today.
Yeah, they're not supporting it, but I think that they, I mean, they're not going to support the bill at all under any circumstances because they want the taxes to go up, because if the taxes go up, they know Trump's going to take the blame and Republicans will take the blame for it. And they can always say, well, we were against tariffs or the party of low taxes or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. How long do you think it'll take for the Senate or for the House to decide on this thing? I mean, is it going to happen this coming week?
Well, you know what? Trump gave a little leeway there yesterday where he said it seemed like he moved off the timeline and the expectations. Having said that, you know, I would not put it off the table simply because he seemingly, and this is a great political story, who's had the power to do what he's done and achieve what he's done in this short period of time? Now, you mentioned the Democrats. One of the things that's on the line here, and they can't wait, they're salivating for aspects of this to fail, for the numbers to grow in the ways that they predicted, because they want to use it in the midterm. So even though we're 18 months away from next November, you know politics, I know politics, a lot of this is already hedging on what might the narrative, you know, might be a year from now or into next fall. So it's very complicated. I would not rule it off the table. My guess would be, I'm always wrong about this, by the way, that they do get it to the president's desk, that he's going to wrangle the votes that he needs. But Chip Roy and others not very happy with some of the changes, so they may have to change again, get a kick back to the Senate. Scott Moorfield, hope you're having a great week. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day to you.
Same to you.
All
Thanks
right.
for
Take
having
care,
me.
Take care, Scott. Thank you.
It really is an ideal outcome for the prosecution. And again, I feel bad for the families. I know they wanted more.
So, you know, this is a story that broke yesterday on the Kohlberger case, and Phil Holloway joined us yesterday. One of the things that Phil said, and he may have had an incorrect gut instinct, and I think this is typical in cases like this, he thought, you know, instinctively that if there was a plea deal which takes the death penalty off the table, that the victims' families had to be consulted and might have been for this. And we're going to ask Paul Morrow, Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector, attorney, and founder of a great website called theopsdesk.org, for his opinion this afternoon. Hi, Paul. How are you? Thanks for coming back. I appreciate it.
No problem, Mark. Thank you for having me.
So what is your take on this whole deal? Because obviously jury selection was supposed to start here in about a month in August. You and I have been talking about this case for a long time. It's one of those that has, you know, gripped the nation because there were so many people killed in a very mysterious way. But you've also highlighted the evidence here, the DNA evidence from the sheath and everything that the prosecutors had on this guy. I mean, I don't think there was any doubt that he was guilty. Are you surprised by this? And then what do you think of the reaction from some of the family members?
So I wasn't surprised. I was shocked. At this stage of the game with this kind of an evidence of an evidence profile, I really did not expect this to come down. What I suspect happened is that at some point along the line, the prosecution offered the deal. It was sitting on the table. And then when the final sort of Hail Mary motions that the defense was making relative to having four alternative suspects introduced at trial, despite having no support for those, when that was finally shot down by the judge, they decided, okay, there's a deal on the table. We got nothing to lose. Let's just take it. Phil isn't wrong, by the way. Phil is an excellent attorney. In Idaho, the families do have to be consulted, and the prosecutor, right in his statement, said that they were. Mm-hmm. But the families statements, the family's opinions are not dispositive. Ultimately, the prosecutor is an attorney. The prosecutor has a client, and that client is not the victim's families, but the people of the state of Idaho. And so the ultimate decision comes down to what the prosecutor wants to do. And in this instance, the prosecutor decided that this was the best move. I have my theories as to why, but that's the way it went.
Well, okay. What's your theory to why? Because I'm curious about that.
Well, I actually think there's a couple of things potentially going on here. I think three or four. Number one, they probably were getting pressure from the FBI. The FBI does not want to release how they did what they did with the DNA. And that is relatively new law. And so they might have felt like there was a vulnerability on appeal. And no prosecutor wants to win a case to lose it on appeal 3-4 years from now, 5 years from now, and have to redo the entire thing. And it's a very liberal circuit because it likely would be a constitutional claim. It'll go to the Ninth Circuit, which is notorious. And so it then could be overturned and the families might have to relive the whole thing again, as would the prosecution. Secondly, and I think this has not really been explored very much, aside from the fact that there could be something else in the appeals that, you know, maybe there's some mistake that the police made that we don't know about. Looks right. Like the cops did a great job, but you never know. Is the fact that there was this collateral investigation, this other investigation that was potentially going to happen. If you recall, we had all these leaks. And recently, the judge said pointedly to the defense, if you guys want me to appoint a special prosecutor, I will do so. And by doing that, that prosecutor very well could unearth a whole can of worms relative to who leaked that stuff to a couple of different television agencies. They made movies about it. There is at least the one in, there was Dateline. And then there were, my understanding, two more coming down, one of which has the two surviving roommates in it. That's very sensitive stuff to be bouncing around in the media.
Right.
And it could also be something, almost certainly would be something, that is very ripe for appeal. You could argue he didn't get a fair trial. The jury pool was tainted even further. And so I think it put the prosecution in a little bit of a weaker position, especially on a death penalty case. And so I think at that point, they might have even revivified a deal that had gone dormant because all of a sudden they were on their heels. And to be really Machiavellian about it, maybe somebody was worried about their reputation. Now, I don't know that that leak came from the prosecution side. I'm speculating. The judge seemed to think so. Could have been anybody. Could have been the prosecutors, could have been the cops, could have been a secretary in the clerk's office. But those leaks came out, they were damaging, and it put in my estimation, the prosecution in a vulnerable position.
But Paul, so he will admit to his crimes, he will admit that he did it, but he is not forced by this plea deal, and I don't know if sometimes plea deals are crafted this way, he does not have to explain his motive, correct?
He does not. As part of the plea deal, he apparently is just going to allocute, that is, admit, essentially, to the elements of the crime. That is, I did it purposely, intentionally, here's what I did, etc. But no, he is not going to be required to say why he did it. That will likely always remain a mystery until, as he's locked up, he decides he's going to write a book and try to make himself a jailhouse celebrity.
Well, and, you know, and I understand, you know, one of the cases for a plea bargain would be then you do not, I can't even imagine having a daughter or a son who was killed in any fashion, let alone in a brutal fashion in a mass murder like this. I would probably want to know why the hell he did it. On the other hand, to have to relive that time and time again, to your point, not only during an initial trial, but if there's, you know, other things that happen in the aftermath of that with appeals, that would be horrifying as well. On the other hand, I think it would leave me as the parent of a victim or a relative in a very uncomfortable spot to not know why the hell this guy did this.
I think that's accurate. And, you know, I think the hope was if you're going to get a deal, you get the whole thing. Now, look, it's not done yet. Ultimately, the judge is the decider.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never know if the judge decides for some reason that this thing is insufficient, that it's flawed, and he doesn't have to take it. But realistically, with both sides agreeing, just because the families don't like it, that doesn't mean it's definitely going to get thrown out. So I think that's where we are. Tomorrow, we're going to get a change of plea. I don't expect a lot of drama there. And figure in about two months, we are likely going to then get the sentencing. That's about how long it'll take in Idaho. And
why does it take that long?
Court.
Yeah.
Why does it take that long?
They do what's called a pre-sentencing investigation. Corrections does it. Usually it's in cases that are a little bit less cut and dry than this one because you want to see, does the guy have priors? Are there other aspects of this? Listen to the victim's impact statements, et cetera. In a case like this, it's pretty much known what we got. So, hey, guys, I'm sorry, I have to go. Looks like we got a verdict in the Diddy case.
Well, go ahead. I knew you were on Diddy. Then that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. You know what? We might even be able to pull the audio up of that because just as he said that, I looked at the Fox screen. He told Fred, and by the way, Paul is so good to us, too, especially even on short notice. I love his website, theopsnest.org, but he told Fred, look, I'm good to go. this afternoon at 3:32, unless the verdict comes in on the Diddy trial. So I may take a little bit of an early break here, and we'll come back and we'll hear the what happened in that. And that's kind of a fascinating situation too. Phil was talking about that yesterday. There was maybe some shenanigans with the jury. And the judge got involved in that, so I don't know what's going to happen on this.
I'd like to hear more about that.
Right. So let's see if maybe we can go back to that. But the other thing that I was going to ask him about is, you remember yesterday, the narrative in this awful thing that happened also in Idaho with the firefighters that show up to fire this, fight this brush fire. And then the 911 call comes in. The guy, and even the sheriff said yesterday, we're pretty, positive that this was an ambush situation.
Yeah.
And then late in the day, there was a story from the Associated Press that said, well, they showed up. And he, I can't remember if it was, he was asked to move his car and he refused, and then the gunfire started. So here's the sheriff updating this just a little bit.
I think we're going to obviously do a deep dive into what happened. The incident is still unfolding. We're finding things out hour by hour at this point. There will be a time for us to reflect on the incident. There will be a time for us to be able to evaluate our policies and our procedures.
I was going to ask Paul about this, but look, he admits that there was some contact with that shooter.
There was pre-incident contact with the suspect by our firefighters upon their arrival, but it was minimal contact, and there was certainly no criminal or suspected activity as a result of that.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We may go to Paul Morrow live on Fox and see what happened with the Diddy trial. We have a Tuesday edition of Sue's News coming up in the next hour. Hang in there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, so let's Let's try to get to the Dittyverd here. Fox is doing live coverage right now, so I want to go to that. And you might even hear our previous guest, Paul Morrow.
Thank you for that update. CB Cotton will be paying attention to what comes back there as everyone makes their way back into court. I want to see if we can break this down for a moment with criminal defense attorney Mercedes Colwin, who joins me now on the phone. Mercedes, you just heard that update. So the jury has not come to a consensus on the racketeering charge, but has come to a consensus on counts 2 through 5, 2 counts of sex trafficking by force, 2 counts of transportation for prostitution. We don't know what the jury has decided, but what do you read into what we know so far?
Well, certainly they struggled with racketeering, and a lot of defense attorneys looking at that particular charge know that it is a very difficult charge in order for the jury to come back and convict individuals. It is difficult. It has lots of testimony came in, 34 witnesses. It has multiple layers of analysis, so it's not a surprise that the jury is still deliberate, may still deliberate, depending on what the judge does. The rest, sex trafficking was easy. I mean, we heard already the notes that were actually delivered in court today, where the jury wanted to have readbacks from Cassie Ventura's testimony. And Cassie Ventura is the very key figure in the prosecution, in the successful prosecution in this case, because she talked about the force, the coercion, the beatings, the freak-offs, what she was required to do at the hands of a violent, very violent relationship with Combs. So that was very easy. And then the prostitution was equally easy when you talk about all the flight information, like CB recounted for your audience, that they went through in painstaking details all of the information regarding the transportation of the escorts to these freak-offs across the country. So those were two very easy types of counts to get a successful conviction. With respect to Jane Doe, it all depends on whether or not the jury believed her. I mean, Jane Doe had to acknowledge during cross-examination that Combs still paid $10,000 a month to her for her expenses. So, of course, that sort of, at least in the juror's mind, may sway them one way or the other whether or not she is a credible witness. And what if not, what is she seeking in this relationship that she had terminated a while ago? So if the judge, and frankly, I'm certain this judge will, with some certainty, he will really push for that Allen charge. This has been a 2-month trial. It's exhaustive in terms of all the time and money and resources that were put into this particular trial. The prosecution is pushing very hard for the judge to direct the jurors to get back in the deliberation room and try to go through the racketeering count. It does, as I said, there are multiple layers of analysis that's going to be needed, but if they do deliberate and they are hung, that's going to be remaining. It can be a partial verdict. And then if it is a hung jury with respect to that particular count, if they can't come to a conclusion with that, then they will. Then the prosecution has to decide whether they should try to retry Combs on that particular count. And if I'm not a betting person, I doubt that the prosecution would do that. If you're looking at what the counts, if those other counts are successful, if it is a consecutive type of penalty given and each one of those are successful, he could spend about 40 years in prison count up all those counts. But if it's concurrent, then it's 10 years plus.
Okay, let's discuss this together and make sure we understand it for everyone watching at home, including myself, on layman's terms. Both you and CB have mentioned an Allen charge. Would you explain to us so that we understand the Allen charge?
Well, the Allen charge is simply a directive to the jury to go back in the deliberation room and continue the deliberations of the counts that remain, the one single count that remains that's needed to be discussed and deliberated to see if there is a possibility of coming to a conclusion. And you may remember that there was a note from the foreperson yesterday where juror number 25, it was identified in court that juror 25 was having some difficulty in following the judge's instructions. And a lot of individuals looking at this trial and analyzing the trial believe that it may have been the racketeering count that was perplexing this particular juror, if that's in fact what was taking place in the deliberation. So not a surprise. Right. It is a difficult charge to begin with, difficult jury instructions, and lots of layers of analysis in order to come to a conclusion one way or the other.
All right, on our television screens, we have seen more family members coming into the courtroom, more of Sean Combs' family making their way in to the courtroom. The other...
So this is, Will Kane, this is live coverage on Fox. We had Paul Morrow with us just a few minutes ago. We were about to talk about this trial suit. It was on my list,
yep.
And Paul had to cut out. But there were some things that happened today throughout the day, and with the... it was only 10 hours of deliberations. There were notes that were sent back and forth. By this morning, the jury had sent the court three notes of substance. The third note asked for transcripts regarding specific testimony from Diddy's ex, Cassie Ventura. And I guess the situation there got a little tricky with the jury. If, and this is from some Fox coverage, including her account of an argument on the way home from a con trip, a trip to the con film festival maybe, or just a con, and the Intercontinental Hotel testimony. They also requested a transcript of another woman's testimony, Danielle Phillips, regarding this fight between Diddy and Cassie at the hotel. So they had a lot of questions going back and forth, and it does seem like there might be a split verdict. He was in the courtroom, Diddy himself flashing a quick thumbs up, thumbs down to someone who was sitting in the family row. So they're trying to cover this as it's happening right now in Manhattan.
The jury will come back and convict Combs on those two, and then with Jane Doe, possibly acquit him. Because
okay,
of what I said, that what during the cross-examination was she had to admit about the fact that there was continuing payment for her expenses.
You're talking about the questions from the jury, the readout, give you some indication, perhaps, of where they are in their minds before we know their verdict. If you're right,
exactly right.
Mercedes, if you read this correctly, that potentially what you're looking at is guilty on two charges, right?
Yep.
One, sex trafficking by force, and the other, transportation for prostitution. I have here in front of me, sex trafficking by force carries with it the potential for 15 to life. Transportation for prostitution carries with it the potential for 0 to 10 years in prison. You brought up consecutive versus concurrent, so that everybody understands.
Right.
If those charges and those prison sentences ran concurrently, that means they wouldn't be stacked on top of one another. He could potentially
exactly.
be in for 15 years in total. If they run consecutively, it could be potentially the 15 years for sex trafficking, and then starts the clock on the 10 years potentially for transportation for prostitution. The reason I bring this to you and to the audience is that will impact the prosecution, right? Do they want more? Is that enough? And will they push for a racketeering consensus if they don't get it here?
So this is where it gets a little tricky. So count one, these are all the charges. Racketeering conspiracy. Count two is sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. Count three was transportation to engage in prostitution. Count four was sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. Count five was transportation to engage in prostitution. Now, one of the criticisms here, and I think maybe even Phil Holloway brought this up yesterday, is, you know, this jury was not sequestered. So they were able to,
which is kind of nuts, isn't it?
For a case like this, I think it is, because you know that the media is going to cover it. We didn't do as much covering on this particular show, or maybe in the Midwest, as they did in Manhattan. But obviously, it's got national coverage, and now it's coming down to these verdicts this afternoon. We're going to keep you posted on that. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.